cover, and the flesh throbbed. Blood dribbled from imperfect yet adequate veins. Vestigial limbs waved weakly and without purpose. At one edge, a blind eye opened, pupil milky white. Even if it did see, there was no mind to understand. The iris had her coloring, because it was a part of her. The life that animated this flesh was formed by Lannery and drawn from the Force. Over time, she had molded the single collection of cells, taken from her own arm, a splash of blood and marrow, into this, an object with a form of life that was all her own. Its movement still troubled her, as did its partial familiarity. But where there was no brain, there was no mind, and without a mind, it was meat. That was all. Living, pulsing, replicating meat. She continued to tell herself that, even as she wondered whether it felt pain. The power she sometimes experienced as she molded flesh to her own desires was shocking, but right now she found meaning in her experiments at last. "It's not just alchemy," Dan Powell had told her. "It's not just learning the art for the sake of it. It's practicing to be the artist." Lannery gathered herself, resting her hands on either side of the experiment's small pedestal. Her wound was deep and wide, its edges weeping and its depth burning. But at the moment Dale had tried to kill her, she had gathered herself behind the Force, and it had swallowed much of the impact. If she hadn't done that, an instant, an instinctive action, her heart and lungs would have been blasted across the mine's floor. Her brother believed her dead. At least she had given herself a chance. She breathed deeply and welcomed the Force flowing through her. Closed her eyes. Shut away the pain that threatened to make her sick, the tiredness that lured her down to sleep and death. The Force grew stronger in her, tingling in her fingertips and toes, her neck, her wounded chest, and she directed it into her experiment. The alchemy came alive within her. It was a burning star with a dark heart. "That I have to watch," she thought, but agony swept through her, distracting her. The power was wonderful. She smiled. The flesh before her started to bubble and boil, and without opening her eyes, she stripped off her tattered robe and undergarments and leaned forward. The smell of burning flesh filled the peacemaker. She heard a pitiful whine from Tree but did not look. If he was afraid, he could cover his eyes. Bogan loomed, and she opened her mind's eye to embrace its darkened surface, and at the same time she felt a warm, wet touch between her breasts. It caressed the angry wound and numbed. Lannery welcomed the contact and sought more, leaning farther forward until she was directly over the pedestal of flesh. My flesh. My experiment. My very own alchemy of self. She sought and found Ashlaw, a bright spark within the Force. And experiencing herself in balance, the talents she had been made aware of at Anil Kesh and which she had been practicing for so long began to flow. Flesh flowed with them. Bogan is in her dreams. She was there before becoming a ranger, but only briefly in the company of others. A visit, an education. And in her memory, Ashlaw was always a constant light that drew her away from darkness. But in these dreams, there is no Ashlaw. She stands on a hillside on Bogan, beside the ruins of stone buildings thousands of years old, looking up at another Bogan staring down. Two moons, both of them dark. No hope of light. Lannery sprang awake and sat up, clutching her hands to her chest. She was on her cot, still naked but with a thin sheet gathered around her waist. Iron holes clacked. Tree sat slumped in the corner, head to one side and eyes barely open.
"The sleeper wakes," he said weakly,
and he looked very sick. Beside her cot on the floor between her and Tree was the experiment. It was withered and dry now, the petrified remnants of something long dead. Even the blood that had dripped onto its base was dark, dry, and flaked, as if it had fallen long ago. She looked down at the wound in her chest and took in a deep, startled breath. Her skin was rough and scarred, and there was a definite depression in her chest. But the blaster hole had vanished. She closed her eyes and breathed deeply, twisting to the left and right, and felt no pain inside. Nothing out of place. Nothing missing.
"You look better," Tree said.
"You look worse." Lannery stood from the cot and quickly snatched up her clothes, pulling them on, then knelt beside Tree, resting one hand against his cheek.
"I think whatever poisoned me on Nox has reached somewhere vital," he said. "My heart staggers. My breathing light."
His leku were limp and pale, and she had never seen his red skin so wan. "I can help you," she said, but then she frowned. "That withered thing, dry and old, there's nothing left. Not how I helped myself, but I can use the force to cleanse your blood, perhaps, to purge you."
"No time," Tree said. "I'll be fine. Had worse. No time."
And Lannery knew that he was right. There was no time, and perhaps even now they were too late. Dale might not have killed her with the blaster, but he meant to. He wanted me to die. He shot me to kill me. But if he reached the old city and initiated the device, then he might succeed in killing her anyway. Lannery slapped a compartment open and dropped a med pack into Tree's lap. "Here. Drugs. I'm sorry, Tree. Do what you can for now, and I'll..." He waved her away. She rushed into the cockpit and ran her hands across the peacemaker's controls. It felt like coming home. She fired the engines, and then paused as the ship shuddered around them. "Thank you, Tree," she said, "for coming to rescue me."
"Only 'cause I can't fly your ship," he said from behind her.
She smiled, pleased that he was nowhere near the bad man he had once been. She only hoped he had more time to make things even better. The scanners flashed. Warning lights chimed.